Thompson. On the show today, we catch up with our favourite friends from Barfoot and Thompson Theatre 2 to see what's happening in the West Auckland market. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along. Can you believe it is May already? This year is zipping by. Of course, if you're listening to our podcasts, which you can download from Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, or any of your favourite podcast sites, it could be any time of the month and you'll just have to disregard what I just said. But big welcome back to my fabulous friends from Barfoot and Thompson Theatre 2, the branch manager, Tony. Welcome.
Hi, Stephen.
Great to have you back. And Head of Property Management, Danielle.
Hello.
Danielle's got that look of healthy homes in her. She's been busy getting everything ready. You look exhausted, Danielle. It's healthy homes time.
Very much so. The team has been very busy and proactive at ensuring all our landlords are, well, their properties are compliant come the 1st of July this year.
Awesome. Working hard as always. And we'll chat more about that. But Tony, first, since we last caught up, you're our frequent flyers on the show. What's been happening at your branch? Any news? Anything exciting?
Yeah, there's always things going on in a real estate business. Nothing ever stays the same. Week to week, you never know quite what's happening. And then there's other structural things that you're always working on strategically. But we had a really amazing start to the year. It sent a buzz of excitement through the branch where, as a business, we were recognised by Rate My Agent as the top agency for our suburb for the second year running.
Congratulations.
And it's just... for me as a manager, it gives me a huge sense of pride, but not so much in myself. It's about the team because it's them and Danielle and her property managers that are getting the client reviews and the great experiences that result in that. And That's where I get my pride from. It's their reward.
And that's the key to Rate My Agent, isn't it? These are literally your customers rating you.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's a completely independent third-party review platform, so we have no influence on it, but it, like I say, it just reflects on, I think, what a great job my team are doing, and as a manager, you couldn't ask for anything more.
That's awesome. Well, that's a good selling point to tonight for listeners on the show. Fantastic. How are sales going in your area? And sort of, when I say your area, I know you're based here, but you cover most of West Auckland.
Yeah. It's been strong, you know, after a very sluggish market for some time, and when I say some time, probably realistically closer to 3 years now, we've really started to see some green shoots and some sign of returning activity, and there's no doubt that can be attributed to the reducing interest rates. For so long we were seeing those rates trending up, and now there's a definite trend of them reducing, and that's brought a lot of confidence and also just the ability for people to be able to borrow some money, whereas perhaps they couldn't afford it before. So I'm not a big stats guy, as you probably know, but just before I left this afternoon to come in here, Peter Thompson put out his latest market. He's a stats guy. And there were just a couple of real highlights. I'll quickly fire over them.
Take
just for our interest for our listeners. So the sales for the first 4 months of this year have been the highest in 4 years. By the end of April this year, we had sold, we being Barfoot and Thompson, 3,444 properties, and that's an 18.5% increase on the same months last year, and get this, 65.5% higher than the equivalent four-month period in 2023. So some real signs that there's increased activity. And just for the month of April alone, this was the highest, we'd sold the highest number of sales in that month for April than we had in the last 4 years. So Stats do reflect reality, I guess, and that's what the stats are saying. So definitely the market activity, the transactions are increasing.
That's cool. Are you attributing, because, you know, media are reporting a lot around, you know, where our current, I guess, financial situation as a country. Mm. And a lot of people are really feeling the pinch, and we're using lots of those sort of words and analogies. But are you noticing that with that sort of stats, we're coming out of it, or is it also things like the relaxing of financing rules and we're not being as strict in that space, meaning more people can now buy?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I feel like at the moment there's a tension in the market between the positive things that are giving buyers confidence and just the actual ability to borrow money versus the negative sentiment around general economic headwinds, you know, things that are going on globally, people's concern about job security. So we've sort of got some things that are holding a buyer sentiment back and others that are actually encouraging them and giving them a positive, which is why I feel like the market's not strongly going one way or the other. It almost feels like it's kind of like the sales are happening, but that's not reflecting in increased prices. As an example, they seem to be staying quite consistent, even though the sales volume has increased quite a lot. And I do think it's because of this tension. It's not all good news and it's not all good bad news. So buyers are kind of sitting in the middle, not quite sure, you know, what should be the stronger influence for their thoughts about property decisions. Yeah.
So you've kind of answered my next question, which was around last week's guest, David Palfreyman, talking about, you know, a buyer's market and a seller's market. Where do you feel West Auckland is? And you're saying it's kind of on the fence of both.
I still would classified as a buyer's market. I really enjoyed David's interview. Big shout out to him. He's a great guy, fantastic coach. He actually coached me. He's a trainer for me when I first came into real estate. He was at the Barfoots training department at the time. So David broke it down in terms of statistically, you know, there is a measure as to whether or not there's more or less, I think, than 4 months stock on the market at the time. I'm not going to go there. That was really interesting. My feeling is just that when I look at the coalface activity, there's a lot of choice out there for buyers still. And I always feel like when there's lots and lots and lots of selection, then it tends to lean in favour a little bit of buyers. There isn't the need for them to feel absolute urgency to buy a particular property. They'll generally shop around a lot more and look. So it's not meaning that it's a bad market for sellers either. Even though I would categorise this as a buyer's market, we've had recent listings just in our branch in the last month or so where a property's been on the market for less than a week and had multiple offers. And I'm talking six offers on the same property. So there's there is a general overview you can take of the housing market, but within that there's nuances and there's different examples of you know, great successes and others where a seller has really struggled to get sold.
Are you still seeing auctions as the way to go?
Absolutely. 100%. I think, you know, we could virtually have an hour-long discussion, Stephen, just on auctions because it's such a fascinating topic in itself. But I think, you know, if you've got a market that is still a little bit, you know, slower, still isn't like full of energy, you need to, I think, create the opportunity for your listing, for your sale, if you're selling it, to have some urgency around it. And there's certainly nothing better for creating that than having a set date where buyers have to make their mind up by, and if they don't, they might miss out on the property. So I've always loved auctions for that reason. I think they do bring urgency and bring more a definitive sort of a marketing time around a property rather than it's just buy negotiation on the market for sale. I just don't think that creates any urgency with buyers. So when there's lots of properties and buyers have got choice, you want to make yours a little bit more selective where they have to make up their mind by a certain date. So statistically, it's, our auctions are still showing that they are the most successful method of sale as well. So, yeah, that's clear.
Imagine a world, Danielle, where we auctioned rental properties. Wouldn't that be different? You know, had everyone come in that to view, pre-approve, and then auction off the price. I mean, there'd be some landlords that would love that. Not good for tenants, though. Tony, a few weeks ago we had on here Rachel from your talent team talking about recruitment.
Yeah.
Where are you at with your team? Are you sort of locked and loaded now, or are you always keeping your eye out for that extra special person to walk
always,
in the door?
Always open to talking to a young, not even young, just a talented person who's keen to explore the possibility of a real estate career and profession. With success comes challenges. With our recognition locally, as you know, as a preferred agency to work within our suburb, I'm getting a lot of inquiry by sellers wanting to look at talking with us about having their property on the market with us. basically, I need a bigger team. You know, my sales team are really busy. I think one day a couple of weeks ago, I had 3 or 4 inquiries in the same day, you know, from people just coming through our email system wanting to speak to one of my team about selling their home. Right. So I'm, if anyone's out there listening and thinking about, you know, a potential career change, I would love to talk to people about that.
So what sort of person are you looking for? You know, is it somebody that has to have experience, or have they had life experience in a different space with some good transferable skills?
Yeah, certainly don't need to have real estate experience. But there are certain key attributes I'm looking for in someone if I'm speaking with them, because this is a... it's a challenging business. It's not easy. So I really want to look at some attributes with someone that I'm speaking with. I had a feeling you were going to ask me this too, and I just made a couple of notes to myself just as I was sitting in the car park. And I made 4 bullet points of things I would look for from someone who came to me saying they were interested in real estate. And they were energized, hardworking, realistic, and then have a learning mindset. And I sort of bracketed under that, what does that mean? So for energized, I need someone with drive. I need someone that's driven, that wants to drive their profession forward. Hardworking, you just need to be diligent. This is not a cruisy business. So someone that is prepared to work hard day in, day out, until, you know, to go towards their success. Realistic, and what I mean by that is informed about the realities of real estate. Don't come into it with the view from watching selling sunsets in California or wherever that is, and a learning mindset, just always curious about their professional development. There is a lot to learn in this role, and you need to keep investing in yourself and your learning. So those would be the 4 key things I'd be looking for if someone came and had a chat with me.
Should they be getting their license to sell before they meet you, or is it okay, come and have a conversation, and do you sort of like support them through that process? How does that work?
I've talked with many young person or someone looking at entering industry before they've got qualified. And I actually help mentor them. Very often I have people going through their training who maybe are struggling with a particular topic or just a particular assignment, and they'll reach out to me just to ask for some guidance. Super happy to do that. No obligation. It doesn't mean that, you know, they have to come to me at the end of it, but I'm all for, like, assisting people for getting into our profession. So, look, either or, if you've got your license and you haven't talked to anyone, you know, have a talk to some people about where you think a great business or a branch manager or a business owner might be. But equally, if you're just thinking about getting into it and want to have a chat with someone like me, 100% happy to have a coffee and talk through that before you commit.
Nice. And, you know, I'm imagining this is good for people wanting to start a career, but also could be good for people wanting to change a career. Perhaps the kids have left home, they no longer have that financial tie, the same, you know, to be able to take a few more risks and get out there, but they've got all the life experience and potentially the network and the contacts.
There's no right or wrong time to get into real estate. I mean, I joined the industry when I was 44, as you know from previous interviews, after 24 years as a firefighter. I mean, I just wanted the new challenge, wanted something completely different. But we also have young people coming into the profession now, like around 20 or early 20s, and seeing this as a career decision where they're going to invest in themselves now, and that could be their business for the next 10, 20, 30 years, who knows. I think as long as you've got the right attributes and attitude, the age isn't a barrier, whether it's being too old or too young.
Brilliant. As we come into winter, but people still wanting to sell their homes, what advice do you give homeowners in preparing their home for both open homes and just that whole selling process and, you know, a wild, wet West Auckland winter?
Look, it is probably... you do need to be a little bit more deliberate about how you present your home in the winter, because, to be honest, no property is probably at its best in the winter.
No.
So I just think some things are pretty important, like how you present for viewings. Natural light. If you've got big overgrown trees, you know, that are shading the natural light coming into your windows, maybe look at getting those pruned back so you're at least going to maximise the sunlight that we have. Artificial light. Make sure every light bulb in your house is workable, so that if it's a dark, overcast, dingy, wet day, at least your agent can come in and brighten the place up by having all the lights on. And it isn't a good look either if people come in and they see that there's a set of 5 lights that are meant to be working in area and only 2 two of them go, and the third one's blinking. And
kind of makes you feel the whole house could have not cared for maintenance vibe.
Another really key thing is just keeping the house ventilated and dry, because it's just natural that houses get a bit damper in the winter. So good ventilation through, and then just making the home as cozy, warm, and welcoming as it can be for the viewing times, whether that's use of heat pumps or a fireplace or whatever it might be.
Do we move from baking bread and coffee to like mulled wine and
I think the smell of coffee is always lovely. I personally love there seems to be a real love now of like scented oil candles and things like that, and I think they're really nice. They're sort of relatively sort of unobtrusive, but they just create a nice ambience. Like I say, we can't help our homes getting a little bit damp through the winter. Yeah. Kids trudging in and out with their wet shoes and all that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Brilliant. All right, Danielle, time to move over to you. If we think about property management side of things, I said at the start of the show, you've had a big focus lately on healthy homes, which all landlords and property managers are working towards sort of the final deadline, the first try. I mean, it's not a new deadline, it's the final one. Mm-hmm. How's your team getting prepared for your landlords?
Sure. So we have been very busy, as I'm sure many others have. With the lead up to the looming deadline, we tried to get our landlords prepared, really, with little updates, you know, ensuring they know what is expected and the deadline. Being in a busy property management office, we have a dedicated power hour each day.
Oh, cool.
So that we're working on either following up the landlords or the maintenance requests and things like that. We've also found some cost-effective options for our landlords where a lot of them have had the work done themselves and things like that. So getting all the documentation together and things like that is proving difficult for those that completed the work some time ago. So now we're just getting those 13A statements, compliance statements, certified for a lesser fee than, say, a full assessment, which has been working really well. But just communication is key at this point.
Totally.
A lot of over-communication.
Are you finding landlords are pretty supportive of it, or are they pulling their hair out?
Most are very supportive of
it. Great to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean from 1st of July? If someone wants to advertise and rent their home out, how does this new rule impact you and them?
Sure. So from the 1st of July, the property must be Healthy Homes compliant before a tenant could move in. So essentially, it should be Healthy Homes compliant before it's even advertised to let new tenants.
So that means a landlord coming to you will have to get that Healthy Homes assessment, which I'm sure you organise, understand what needs fixing, and get all of it done, or perhaps if there's the last thing that you know can be done within a couple of weeks of the adverts going up, I guess you can promote it knowing the heat pump goes in 2 weeks' time sort of thing.
Exactly, So say with new management's coming on board and what have you, we would obviously onboard them, get the assessment done or have them provide us with the assessment and work with them to get it compliant. And when we know the dates, etc., we would know when we could list the property and things like that.
I mean, I imagine long term, it's probably going to be easier for your team. Would I be right? Because it's a simple yes or no situation now. Your house has to be compliant before I can put a tenant in, therefore we have to do this.
Absolutely. Very much looking forward to that.
Yeah. No more grey area.
Yeah. I think the only challenge is where we still have a battle almost where the landlords believe their property is compliant and things like that when, you know, they've had their works done a long time ago.
Right.
Or perhaps they didn't really do the heating calculation, so the heat pump isn't actually.
And I guess our homes change, you know, insulation's going to compact over time, drainage is going to get older and damaged, so we can't presume that a check 2 or 3 years ago is valid.
Exactly, especially with the older homes and draft stopping. The houses tend to move with the seasons and things, so the drafts are inevitable to pop up from time to time.
So would you recommend to landlords they put a little bit of money aside, just, you know, in that spare fund for ongoing Healthy Homes compliance over the years?
Absolutely. Just like they would, you know, for the chimney cleans and checks or the heat pump services or gutter cleans and things like that. Yeah. absolutely.
So there's been a lot of criticism from people around the Healthy Homes legislation, mainly due to the costs put on landlords. What do you think, though, are the key benefits?
So obviously there can be a slightly significant cost at the start. However, in the long term, you're going to have more stable tenancies, warmer, drier homes. You know, you have tenants respecting the properties and things like that. And also it benefits the property in the long run to have a warmer, drier home. If it was to go on the sale market, the, you know, purchasers will likely want to know that it's a warm, dry home because essentially it should be a basic standard, not a bonus at the end of the day.
I'm not sure if you know this, Tony, but have you or your team reported any rise in properties that have come off the rental market where they've gone, I can't be bothered getting up to Healthy Home standard, I'm not going to do it, let's just sell it? Has there been a bit of that?
Yeah, there has. I'd say in the last 6 months or so, there's some investor owners who have decided that that's the route they're going to take. They're just going to offload that property rather than making it compliant. But just going back to your last question to Danielle, I would say there is a real positive for an owner making their home Healthy Homes compliant. If at some point they do choose to sell that property, they're opening it up to the full market of buyers, to another investor owner who might want to buy that to add to their portfolio because they know it's compliant to be rentable, as opposed to only selling it to an owner-occupier type home. So there is a real positive to a bit of investment in becoming Healthy Homes compliant in terms of future value for the property as well. Yeah.
Apart from putting a bit of money aside, what else would you suggest landlords continue to do to make sure their homes are Healthy Homes compliant? Remembering some of our listeners will be private landlords trying to battle this on their own.
Yeah, so regular property inspections. So generally we do them every 13 weeks or so. So I would highly recommend the same, where you're checking, you know, that the fans, range hoods, bathroom fans are functioning, heat pumps, etc. Checking the gutters aren't blocked and things like that. If any works are getting done, ensuring that they're done up to a standard that meets the standards, but basically using qualified contractors or having a property manager is almost essential at this time, because the laws are ever changing. It's, you know, there's a lot for us to keep up with. So we keep clear records of everything, and that's what I would recommend to anyone and everyone: clear records and documentation so that you can prove that the property is compliant.
You mentioned the importance of having a property manager. I mean, the fines are large, aren't they? We are talking some serious fines if this is wrong. So I guess that's where your team comes in, because I'm sure your lovely branch manager here doesn't want to be copying the fines. So your job is to make sure it's accurate for our landlords. Is that one of your sort of key areas, I guess, for taking the stress off?
Absolutely, yes. We our record keeping is fantastic. We have everything on file, especially if we're organising the works on behalf of the owner. We can show that it's, you know, a reputable, qualified contractor that's going in and completing these things. Also, upkeep of everything, say with the heat pumps and things like that. That also ties in with compliance, because if you're not having the heat pump serviced and or the gutters cleaned regularly, then that can shift your property from being compliant to non-compliant if they're not maintained.
I remember when Healthy Homes first came out of nowhere, all these different companies came out as assessors and they all had different charges and they all did different things. Has the industry calmed in that space? Have you kind of got now core good assessors doing these checks? And would you recommend them over a landlord trying to fill out a 13A statement on their own?
Absolutely, hands down. We have had quite a lot of experience in this field, obviously, towards this deadline looming. So not only is the 13A statement quite tedious to fill in yourself if you don't know what you're doing.
Because it's pages and pages, isn't
it? Exactly. If you don't know what you're doing, then you can get yourself into trouble, because just a falsified statement, technically, if it's filled in incorrectly, can put you in at a risk.
If I could just jump in here for a second, I would say if I was a private investor owner, there is just no way I would be wanting to run this risk. I just wouldn't want to take the risk that what I thought was compliance under my 13A was going to meet the standard of NVIE or chooses to audit me. It just, to me, the risks are too high. As you said, the fines are really significant. I think, you know, working with someone like Danielle who knows what they're doing and they can guide you through that is the only way to go at the moment.
And I'm guessing, I mean, years ago when insulation became the first sort of big thing that came out in this space, but there was also a little moment there that NBIE did have very much not a Dobbin system, but there was a, if you're a tenant and you don't think you have insulation, do let us know, and the fines went to them, not to the government. This potentially could happen with Healthy Homes after 1st of July, where there will be pressure put on tenants to say, hey, I don't feel I'm in a healthy home. So I'm guessing every bit of documentation that you have is going to protect that landlord, which is why you want the professional assessment as well.
Absolutely.
Because that, I'm guessing, is protecting you in this mix.
Absolutely. And from experience, we're seeing the real struggle with our landlords trying to supply us with the information required to, you know, support the statement they're filling in. The biggest issue really is the heating calculation tool, you know, or we are getting supplied with these self-completed 13A statements, and we go to the property and we can see firsthand that, no, it isn't actually accurate. So we're having those conversations and just educating them. Again, communication is key.
Because I guess you've got to feel safe that the information you've been supplied is real and legit.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And sometimes it's, you know, just they don't have the trained
eye. The knowledge, totally.
Exactly, so yeah, it's a lot to understand and take in, so.
It makes you, to be honest, Stephen, a little bit fearful for some private investor owners. I think if there's any thought that somehow by not being connected with a company that they might fly under the radar a little bit and perhaps not be seen, I think actually it could be the other way of anything.
Me too.
I think there's going to be more focus on them than perhaps there would be through professionally managed businesses, you know.
Absolutely, and I mean, your company at Balfour & Thompson have been quite vocal out there of saying we will only have compliant homes from 1st of July. We won't manage non-compliant.
Well, we absolutely have to because we're in the gun for fines as well as a managing company. So we just literally will have a note.
Zero tolerance
after July 1. We will literally have to disengage properties that aren't compliant.
Which, if I was MB and I'm sitting in my office in Wellington noticing a change of landlord forms coming through for bonds from reputable companies like your Balfour & Thompson, Ray White, Harcourts, etc., suddenly going to Mr. and Mrs. Smith, that would be a bit of a red flag to go and check that property, because I would feel that a company, especially in July, has let go. So private landlords actually should be jumping to get you to manage their properties right now to get this sorted in time.
Well, in that sense, our understanding is that the tenancy services through the Bond Centre and NVIE will be working quite closely. So there will be a lot of data coming from tenancy services about managements that have been released from professional companies and have gone private. That almost is a red flag, come and have a look at me, because why would you be doing that right at this critical juncture? So,
in my understanding, they've already begun the audit process in Auckland. I think it's in the Pamir region where they're already checking homes there, sort of, I guess, looking at our vulnerable tenancies. So, yeah, you want to get it sorted. Look, Danielle, enough of Healthy Homes. You can take a breath. I'm sure it's been in your head for months. But when we last chatted, you had not long started as the new head of property management for the branch. You were initially an assistant, then you became a property manager, working your way up the ranks to now be the head in the same branch. Apart from Healthy Homes, how's it going? How are you enjoying the challenge of the new role?
I definitely enjoy the challenge. It has been a challenge. To a certain degree, our team are wonderful, but we're having, you know, staff changeovers and things like that as well. So that, in addition to the compliance deadlines and things like that, very, very busy.
What's been your biggest learning or challenge that you've overcome, perhaps?
I would say
she's struggling because she's so good at everything.
Well, I could switch that a little bit. I switch that question. Is there something that surprised you that perhaps you didn't realise would be something you'd have to learn or train? Or is there a part of the role that you went, oh, I didn't realise my previous person had to do that? Was there any surprises?
I think, you know, really overseeing everything and seeing certain areas where I can assist the team more, or where they may need some more guidance, or just even taking on ideas with the team and how they think things may work well and things like that. So it's all just a getting I'm still transitioning and really getting settled in, and with the staff changeovers and things like that, it makes it a little bit hard to get really settled in, but everyone is coping so well, and yeah, I'm excited to have a solid team, solid network. There's compliance stuff behind us, and really climb from there. But
because they say any new role is 6 months to 12 months that you should suddenly sort of feel that you're starting. 6 months you should be going, I'm swimming above the water just, but that lifeboat's still there. And by 12 months you start going, oh no, I own it now. So it'll be interesting to check in with you in 2026 and see what you say.
Well, Danielle won't say this about herself, but she's I appointed her to the position, so I can say one of the best decisions I've had the pleasure of making since moving into my role. And she's a natural born leader, and there's nothing but a great future for her and her team. And it has been tough coming into a new role and having had this big compliance load at the same time. I think everyone's looking forward to July 1 and just moving forward with fully compliant properties and then just growing from there.
Brilliant. Now, of course, you went from assistant to property manager to head of property management. So are you sort of watching out that your seat could be gone by this time next year?
Yeah, absolutely. Or maybe someone up at support centre running the whole property management division.
Love it. Now, Danielle, like I asked Tony, we're coming in to winter, is there things that we should be doing with our rental properties before we advertise and rent them out? What can our landlords be doing to make them, you know, winter friendly, I guess? And I'm not talking so much necessarily about maintenance, we'll get to that, but just for even advertising it and showing people through.
Yeah, sure. So photos always matter. You know, they want to be light and bright and welcoming. Similar to what Tony was saying, it's almost like for like with regard to the viewings.
Right.
Property manager or, you know, private landlord getting there ahead of time, making sure the power is on for one, having all the lights on in the house so it's warm and welcoming. If there is a heat pump in there already, switch that on a little bit beforehand. So
It's a really good point you say about the power on, because often tenants disconnect the power when they move. So if a house has been sitting for a few weeks, do you as a company organise like temporary power for that?
Yes,
So people can feel welcome, warm and light. And
Absolutely, because first impressions count. And if they're walking into a house that's dark and it's raining outside, you know, it's not very welcoming.
No.
You can't really picture yourself in there.
No.
And just, maintaining the outside, making sure it looks nice and the gutters aren't full and things like that.
So that's that core maintenance as we're coming into winter. Is that something your team are looking for when they do their inspections, say March, April, May? You're thinking ahead and going, okay, landlord, this is what we're going to need to do?
Yep, definitely. Although compliance is at the forefront at the moment, it's something that we kind of have on a annual reminder, saying, hey, now it may be time to get your gutters cleaned and things like that. Because it's not only pulling out what you can see, it's the downpipes and everything that need flushing as well. And with all the heavy rain, there's a lot of surface flooding and things like that, and your driveways and things, so drains cleared and stuff like that.
Well, one thing we've learned in the last few years, isn't it, is we can get some pretty freak weather events in our winters now. So certainly you want to make sure your roof gutters, your ground drainage and all that's working well. And obviously, just coming out of autumn after everything's lost its leaves, that's just the worst possible time for creating those blockages.
And notifying council if your street ones are blocked, because those freak ones then, you know, it all comes into your driveway.
Yeah,
making sure you get that message out. Look, talking to a lot of property managers lately, the last month or so in particular, people are noticing a real slowness, I guess, in the letting space. There's plenty of properties on the market, but there's less people looking and moving. Again, coming back to those costs of moving, especially bonds. It is hard if you're, you know, living day by day to your paycheck and suddenly you've got to come up with $3,000 or $4,000 for your next bond till you get your first one back. Is that something you're noticing out west as well? Just a few extra days to let a property?
Most definitely. I think again, communication is key in this space with our landlords, the owners, because just setting and managing expectations, you know, a lot of the time, especially for first-time landlords and things like that, they don't really know the market, say, like we do, and how viewings are going and what attracts and what doesn't attract and things like that. So, the advertising matters, and a lot of owners are now being prepared to, you know, offer a little sweetener to try and help.
Like a week's free rent. Which then helps them raise that money for the bond. And I guess getting that price right, don't be over inflated because that $50 less a week, you could have rented it 3 weeks ago.
Exactly. When you crunch the numbers over a year, the financial loss can be quite different.
And I understand people can go to work and income, even if you're not a work and income client, just to get support for a bond. So you can go in and say, I really need to move and why, and they will do a interest-free loan for a set period of time just to get a bond done. So that's something people can think about. Yeah, really helps.
Hey, just like an oversupply in the housing market for selling, I think what you guys are saying is it's identical. It influences a supply-demand thing of the same. Mm-hmm. And if there's a lot of rent properties available for rent, I think as an owner, you know, getting that asking weekly rent right at market level talking to someone like Danielle is super important.
Mm-hmm. Tony, from a sales perspective, where do you see the rest of the year heading for West Auckland? We're only in May.
Really interesting. It's such a hard one to pick because of what I mentioned before about we've sort of got conflicting or tension around what's going to create the dominant influence on the market, which is for why I feel like it's almost going to be a little bit of a static year, almost like a change year.
Right.
Undeniable, the last 3 years have been a sliding market. The average sale prices are significantly lower than they were in late 2021. And then this change with the mortgage interest rates now being so much lower and probably going to go lower again during the course of this year. That's all encouraging. I think people's more general concern around the economy and jobs and is their business still going to be there that might temper some of that sort of market increase. I feel like this is going to be a transition year and there's sales to be had. You know, if I was a seller, I certainly wouldn't be fearful about bringing my property onto the market. But just like we were talking about with rents, making sure you're talking to someone and getting really informed information about where is the market value for my property now. You pitch too high, you'll just sit on the market. I'm feeling good about the year. I think it's going to be an active year, and I feel like next year potentially with some of this turmoil's like settled from the US and maybe domestically, we're going to see quite a strong 2026 after a long period of kind of the market being quite slow. Yeah,
brilliant. I've only got a minute left. Tell me, in that case, what do you do to prepare your sales team for coping with these ever-changing worlds as they try and live and raise a family, and they're very commission-based?
Top thing is have a partner who's on a salary. Sorry, I shouldn't really say that.
You're still living home with mum and dad.
But obviously know your budget and just be prepared. Maybe trim some of the luxuries out of your living at the moment, you know, just until, you know, you get back to really good regular commissions. But I must say, even in a tough market, a well-organised, methodical, well-skilled salesperson will still do really well. It doesn't mean because the market's quiet that you can't do well in real estate.
Cool. Do your team manage all over Auckland or do they tend to just stick out west?
Predominantly west, but in saying that, just because of the open nature of the Barford and Thompson network, we do list properties in North Shore, Central and
is that the
areas.
Same for you, Danielle? You'll manage a property, but, you know, within reason.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much for both coming in again. As I said, you are our frequent flyers. We love checking in on what's happening in the West Auckland market.
I've brought my card. I want my free coffee next time.
Get your points. But it does give us a good sort of snapshot of where that journey has been and where it's changing. But also,
also from your career front as well, which is really awesome. So all the best. If you want to get in touch with Tony or Danielle, head to barfoot.co.nz/teatre2. All their details are there. You can click in, get a sales and a rental appraisal. And if you are a landlord and you are stalling on getting this healthy home stuff sorted, contact Danielle. She'd love a few more healthy homes to sort by the 1st of July. No pressure. That would be fantastic. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks, guys, for coming
along. Thank you for having us again, Stephen.
Next week's our last episode for this season, and I'll be doing a bit of a best bits look back on who we've had over this season and a bit of a catch-up. If you're driving on the roads, take care. We will catch you next week. Thanks for tuning in.